Well, we'd like to welcome you here tonight for this celebration of 13 years of Terry's serving as U.S. President. I was looking at most of you downstairs, and most everyone here in this room, we work together day by day, and I want you to know you clean up real good. sometime back, we were, when Terry told us that he was planning to step down as the U.S. president, a number of us got together and we said, you know, we really want to take a time to let Terry know how much we appreciate what he has done for us. And we want it to be a time of celebration. We want it to be a time where we can really honor not only Terry and Carol and the work that they have done, but also to praise and thank God for all that he has done. We want to thank some of you who are here from out of town. Some of you have come quite a ways, and tonight I understand that Terry's going to be introducing a number of you, and we certainly want to meet you, and we want to hear from you as the evening goes on. And so I just felt like that what we would do is take a little time to pray. But before I do that, I suppose some of you don't have your Bible, but I'd like to read a little passage here from 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We can continually remember before God and the Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Terry and Carol, what we want to tell you tonight is how grateful we are for your work, for your faith, and for your love, and your commitment to us and your commitment to this work. We're just so grateful for you and thankful for what God has done. And so we want you to really enjoy tonight with us. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight as a body of believers, navigators together, and those who have come from parts of the country, we want to thank you and praise you that for 13 years you have given us a president that loves you deeply and intimately. And Father, we want to thank you that you have given us a president who has delivered a work of faith, a labor of love, and a steadfast hope among us. We thank you, Father, for Carol. We thank you for her love and her mercy that she has shown to us, and the love and mercy that you have given her that has allowed her to be so gracious and so loving with so many of us. And so, Lord, tonight we want to take this time not to just honor the lives of a couple that has served us, but to honor you in the way that you have used them in our lives. So we give you praise and we give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jerry?
You know, when coming to this event this evening, you know, every event like this is a little bit bittersweet. And I remember a story about Senator Robert Dole when his wife Elizabeth became Secretary of Transportation. They did an article on her, and they published this picture of Bob Dole and Elizabeth Dole making a bed. And some irate man wrote Senator Dole and says, "I can't believe it," he said. "I can't believe that you would allow yourself to be taken in a picture doing women's work." And she went on like that. And Bob Dole wrote him back and said, "Buddy, you don't know the half of it. The only reason she was helping me is that the photographer was there." So So, Carol, thank you for coming. We really appreciate it very much. What I've been, ever since seeing this picture, I wondered where you picked up this old guy that's along the side there. Oh, this is great. Listen, Lauren Sanny would love to have been here, and I know you've talked. Have you talked to him today, but before? Lauren is just, I talked to him this morning, and he's just finished, I think, his fourth chemo treatment, and today is the day that the white blood cell count is the lowest. And so he just could not be out with the possibility of infection, and he just sends his greatest love to you and Carol, Terry, and would love to have been here. I've been looking back on history a little bit as I prepared for this time. Better look at my watch to make sure I know the time, because they put me a limit. They say they'll drag me off after a certain amount, which I will not tell you. And if I don't, Mary gets real nervous after a while. And I cleared this up with Jack Mayhall ahead of time to make sure I had the chronology straight, and I didn't initially. As we go back in U.S. directors, we go back to Leroy Imes, who really, I think, brought evangelism back into the Navigators in a very significant way. And really with that era of the Navs in the U.S. of demonstrating the vision and a focus on students. And following Leroy, Rod Sargent stepped in for a very short period of time. And both of them, incidentally, were field directors, essentially, because the work was quite small. And you had the headquarters, and you had some people overseas, and you had the people in the field in the U.S. And then Skip Gray took the work, and certainly Skip's emphasis on leadership and recruiting were very, very strong. And then Jack Mayhall came in and took the work for 10 years that I think really set a lot of the pattern of the work and really made an incredible contribution. And I told him he can correct me afterwards, but the way I looked at Jack's tenure of time, one of the things that was really brought into the Navigators then was training and sending and structuring. Because we got together, we began to send in ways that you would not believe to the international, and training really came into the system very, very well. It also was the first time that you had had a U.S. director who had the entire of the administrative structure as well as the field structure. And then Terry followed him, and I think one of the elements that Terry has contributed, though there are many, one is evangelism again. I think back to Leroy, but in a different way, a focus on the lost and a focus on lifetime laborers. There are two verses that I would like to reflect with you on in reviewing Terry's 13 years in the job. The first is really a future-oriented verse from today on. And that's Ecclesiastes 8:8. And one little phrase out of there stands out: there is no discharge in the day of battle. So Terry is not retiring. He is changing gears. There is no sense of stepping out of the battle, but constantly being in it. But each of us, you know, is called to a task. And we're called to a position, but a position is always for a period of time. None of us will keep our positions forever, but all of us have the calling for a lifetime. And Terry and Carol will have much to contribute in the days to come, and they'll be very much in the battle. The second verse, and I'm sorry, Terry, I decide I wouldn't ask you if this is the one you're going to speak on tonight. Because if it was, I wasn't going to change this anyhow. So I figured no need of asking. But it's one of Terry's favorite verses. At least it's one that I have heard him share in the past, and it's Acts 13:36. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep, and he was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. Now, we're not at that latter point quite yet. Although, you know that picture, I want to check on it just a little bit. Now, but the phrase there, David had served God's purpose in his own generation. And that was something that was on Terry's heart. And I remember him sharing at one time that he wanted to be one who served God's purpose in this generation for this particular time. He has done it. And as Terry and I have walked together in many ways through the last 13 years, I have really seen firsthand, as we've spent many, many, many times together, the burdens and the sense of calling and the deep sense of concern for the work, and more than that, perhaps the courage to take the U.S. Navs to a new level of impact and a new level of reaching out, especially when, as we think of the idea of lifetime laborers. Now, everybody will remember Terry's time with us for something different, but one certainly is change. It's been a key word of the time, but I think also it will be the entity structures, which was needed in many ways, especially in the student ministry, and just to, whenever you change the structure, you get everybody's attention in so many ways. And certainly, you would remember the commission. And that was not a simple thing. It took a lot of time of a lot of the leadership, but has had an incredible impact in the world of missions today and demonstrated that groups can really work together. And we're still trying to see the outcome of that as people have gone back for second, third, and fourth terms, so to speak, of the years at a time, and many staying permanently over in Russia. And finally, a tremendous emphasis on the lost and on lifetime laborers. When I talked with Lauren today, I said, Lauren, if you're going to be here, what would you have said? And he gave me two things that I'd like to share with you. One was that Terry and his team, in his estimation, have sought the Lord deeply for their direction in a way that he has seen few do in the work through the years. So that was a key issue, Terry, seeking God before one moved. And the other was Terry's graciousness in how he handled himself in relationship to the international work, in relationship to many other tough times that the work has gone through. And by the way, it will always go through tough times. Jack would attest to that. Lauren certainly would from his interaction. I love the African proverb that says, smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. And so God has, I believe, used Terry in this period of time. I reflect back over the years to my time with Terry, and we've worked together for, my mathematics are going wrong, but it's about 23, 24 years that we've worked directly together. Terry came to Colorado Springs, and I believe, was it in 74 or 75? 74, that's what I have written down, so memory hasn't all gone yet. And he came and to lead the Air Force Academy ministry as well as to develop a training center. But I'll never forget the first time Terry and I got together in my living room. And with Terry is very perceptive, and he asked me, it must have been 100 questions about this and that and why I did this and why we did that. And I said, this is a guy who is thinking. He is really looking at what is here and what the reason would be for is to come out this way and what is on my mind. I mean, he asked me questions of things I've never thought about. Of course, I thought about it then and made it look like I had thought about it. It was very perceptive. Then in later on, I believe it was 77, that I went through a real downtime, and we were, and Jack will remember this well, we were really doing some restructuring and I was asked to go one place and did not feel that that was right. And Terry went and took that particular job, which was to direct the Southeast region. And then I went off to Seattle. They put two friends as far apart as we could possibly get and spent that until I returned here in 83. And then I believe, Terry, you came back in 84. Is that right? Or was it 83? 83 also, to work with Jack, that's right. So we came back at the same time. And so we've had the opportunity now just to work so closely together for so many years. And I just have a deep appreciation and respect for Terry and what God has done in his life and what God has done through his life. And I've jotted down just three or four key things that I believe that God has used Terry for on a personal level. And one is that I believe he's one of the few people that I have worked with who I believe has a gift of discernment on a personal level. Many times we've talked as we all do over personnel issues, and I believe God has given him special discernment even before the evidence was there. That's quite a responsibility if you have that. I'm not sure he would say he has it, but I think so. The other thing, there's been a tremendous sacrifice. In the whole matter of leading a segment of our work, particularly like the U.S., which is probably, as Jack and I were talking, the most difficult job in the entire Navigator world, there's a tremendous sacrifice on the part of both. Your time isn't your own. Your decisions are often not your own. And even if they were, they are criticized everywhere. And I like the quote that I picked up a few years ago by a man by the name of Gaylor Nelson. And it goes something like this. It says, "The ultimate test of a man's conscience may be his willingness to sacrifice something today for future generations whose words of thanks will not be heard." I believe Terry and Carol have done that. The other thing is the issue of courage. And Lauren, I've already mentioned that earlier. I believe that some of the things that Terry did in the job took courage because not everybody agreed. And I think rarely will you have total agreement. The other thing that I felt is through the entire time that he and the team were really sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, but also committed deeply to the vision. But perhaps most of all, Terry, I want to thank you for being my friend and for being friends to Mary and to me, and for just this history. And it's going to go on because he's supposed to report to me for the next few months. So we're going to have some fun as he heads out. There's one last thing that I want to share from Mark 6:31. And there we read, "Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, 'Come with me to a quiet place and get some rest.'" And I think that is what Terry and Carol are going to do. And for the next few months, to ask God to refresh them, to encourage them, and to give them a vision of where God is going to place them for the future. Terry, it's been a fantastic 23 years, and there is more to come. And I thank you deeply on behalf of the international work, and the NLT will thank you on behalf of the U.S., for what you've done, the godly way you've led, and what God is going to do for you in the future. We love you. Thank you.
Well, it's remarkable to listen to Jerry, and we have some of the same thoughts we'd like to share. I've been asked, and quite a privilege it is, to represent the national leadership team tonight and share some thoughts with you concerning Terry and with Carol. All of us on the team have our own thoughts and our own stories, and we could stand up and share them with you, but I have that special privilege tonight. And I wanted just to mention four things that, as I thought about this, that I want to share. I believe all of us on the NLT, the national leadership team, would have in common. So I'll just try to mention those quickly to you. The first area that came to mind as I thought about this, as I was asked to do this, is just what Jerry shared at the end, that Terry is a great friend. He is a great friend. Bolly and I first met Terry and Carol in 1970 when we lived in Florida. I had some hair then. That was quite a number of years back. And working with Terry has affected that. I think there's some connection there. But I think Dave and Terry Legg met Carol and Terry shortly after that. And we've been great friends ever since. It's been a great privilege. The last 9 years of working with Terry in the national leadership team has been a tremendous experience for me and a great time. I know all of the team would say that. This is true for them. They'd like that privilege. One story just to tell you, a little bit of one, a little bit of another. In 1989, Volley and I went through a short but really stressful time with our youngest daughter. It culminated one evening when we had the most difficult conversation we ever had with her in her life, in our lives. It was really hard. At 11:30 that evening, I called Terry and Carol, two other couples, Paul and Phyllis and Ray and Gloria. And I only said this to them because that's all I could say. I'm in trouble and I need you. And I need you to come to be with me right now. And they were all at my house within 20 minutes. I got up out of bed and came to be with us and stayed with us till about 2 in the morning and prayed with us. It really was a turning point for the life of our daughter. She was so overwhelmed. She didn't know what was going on downstairs with these people praying for her, but it really changed her life. That's what friendship is about, and all three of those couples were a blessed part of that, Terry and Carol, in a very special way. When my mom died last year in on the coast of North Carolina, Terry came to the funeral, but not only that, stayed 2 days with us and just was there to be with me, and it was such a privilege to have him there. Carol and Terry have been with us as friends in every situation we've faced like that, and I know many of you would say that, and I know all of the national leadership team would say that. They were there for Alan and Becky when they went through such great pain with one of their children. They have been there for us all. Someone has said, if you were in trouble, and they used to say if you had a dime, you can't say that anymore, and could call someone, a quarter, whatever it would be. You could just make one phone call. Who would you call? Certainly for Volley and I, it would be Terry and Carol. And I think all of the NLT members would say the same thing. Terry's been a great friend, is a great friend. Terry's also been a great leader for us, I believe. He has led this work, as Jerry described, through one of the most significant change processes we have ever experienced. He has been God's man, I believe, for us at a time when we really needed to take a good look at ourselves and move in some new directions. Howard Hendricks told us at the beginning of this process, "You will be the first organization I know that will go through a process like this kind of change and survive. If you do, you'll be the first one I know." And we have done that. We have survived, and we are more fruitful than before. But it's not been easy. It has been a challenge, and Terry has led us in that. Terry took God at his word. He believed the promises of God. He believed the promises God has given the navigators. And he led us much deeper into the land that God had promised to give us. And we're very grateful for that. Terry has reminded us again and again, the great commandment must precede the great commission. And he has consistently demonstrated that for all of us who are on the national leadership team. As Jerry mentioned, Terry led us and the navigators into the greatest missionary movement of modern time, perhaps of all time, with their involvement in the commission. He helped lead many in the body of Christ, including us, to work together for greater fruitfulness and for God's glory. And he led us when some did not want us to go in this direction and did not want him to go in this direction. The commission has been one of the most exciting adventures in which we have ever entered as the navigators. Terry led us in this commitment. He's been the man, I believe, that we've needed, the man God called to lead us into great things, and God is still leading us into those great things. Terry, I believe, also is a great visionary. He sees down the road in a way that few can, and by God's grace, he has led us as God has led him. He led us into some areas of fruitfulness that now we almost take for granted, but it was not always so. In addition to the commission, which not only brought forth this tremendous effort in the former Soviet Union, but has helped tremendously to restore and strengthen all of our navigator missionary efforts, Terry led us, as Jerry mentioned again, to have a vision and a deep compassion for the lost. We believe that vision, the passion for the lost, has been restored. It is happening. Terry's had a deep burden, as many of you know, a vision for the cities of our nations, to see the gospel flourishing there, to see discipleship growing at every level in the mainstreams of metropolitan areas. We believe this is going to happen also. It is now the vision and mission of many navigators. And it was Terry, along with others in the mid-70s, who had a vision for disciple-making in the local church that led to a ministry that has now been a blessing to more than 15,000 churches across this country and around the world, the Navigator Church Discipleship Ministry. I mentioned these, but there are many other visionary efforts in which Terry has led us over these past 13 years. And then I would say Terry is a great learner. In my opinion, Terry has grown and changed as much as anyone I have ever known. He has been a consistent learner. And those learning times have not always been easy. Sometimes they've been very, very difficult. We have probably laughed together more as a team than anyone could imagine. We've probably been laughed at more than anyone could imagine. we have had some great times together, a great fun. But I would tell you, we've also cried together as a team. We've cried about a lot of things, and it's changed us. It's changed all of us. It's deepened our friendship. Crying together often does that. It really deepens you in your love for one another. We have learned and changed as we have watched Terry learn and change. It was Terry, as you know, who took the blame for the difficulties, all the difficulties we experienced in national leadership in 1994. It was the fault of all of us. But Terry took the blame. He has learned that's what a leader must do, and that's what he did. Terry has led and modeled for us shared leadership. He has modeled for us team, consensus, decision-making. And all of us who have worked with him and experienced those models would never want it any other way. The Lord has richly blessed us in this, and it was Terry who set the pace in learning to work and lead the work in this manner. We have all learned from him. But Terry has also taken the blame when things didn't go well. He has learned humility, I believe, in a way that few leaders do, ever do. Terry's a learner. He's a changer, a grower, a disciple. And God has deeply used him in all of our lives and in the lives of many others in the body of Christ. And we have been richly blessed by the Lord through Terry and Carol, I believe. So for the NLT, Terry, I thank you. Thank you and Carol. We love you and appreciate you very much. Thank you for being our leader. Thank you for being a visionary and a learner. And as Jerry said, thank you for being our friend. We appreciate you.
Well, Terry, if you and Carol could just step up here for a moment, we have a couple of things that we'd like to give you. We put together this scrapbook. Tonight I was looking at it, and I made an observation. I don't know whether you can pick it up or not, but Terry, especially, has changed a lot. I want to assure you that Terry's a lot better looking today. So despite Jerry's remarks, I don't know, that's an awful picture of you, Terry. But there are just some marvelous things in here. Now there's a here's this handsome picture of Terry. You notice he was a long hair in his day. He was probably one of those street dwellers or something like that. But anyway, we want you to have this as a remembrance of our time together. Now, we've got a couple other things.
Thank you.
Carol, this is for you.
Well, thank you.
And that's something to... I think you'll enjoy. If you want to open that, you can.
Open
this now? Yeah, go right ahead. I can handle that, Carol.
Testing his future skills.
Oh, beautiful.
And Terry, this is presented to you. Terry Taylor, President, 1984-1997. U.S. Navigators, and your verse, Isaiah 42, 6 and 7, in terms of what God gave you.
Thanks.
It's been a privilege.
Thanks.
Are you going to share as well?
I must confess, as I was listening to Jerry and as I was listening to... Daryl talk, I would given anything if my mom could have been here to have heard those things that she said, and I assure you she would have believed every word of it. As I've was reminded just sitting there of I'm not sure who said this, but somebody said that praise is like horse liniment. It's okay if it's not taken internally, and I will attempt to do that. I think the couple of thoughts that as I was thinking about just the evening together and the things that have been shared, Carol and I, quite frankly, were a little bit antsy, not knowing what was going on this evening. We knew that we were to be here at 7 o'clock, and we didn't know if this was for a small group of people or just who was invited or just what. So I think one thing I'd like to do is just to say thank you very much that you would take this kind of time to come out on a long weekend and sacrifice that time just to celebrate with Carol and I what we feel the Lord Jesus has done, both in our hearts and in this common vision and dream that God's given us together in the Navigators. And I say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. This is something very special. I was reminded last night, we had a memorable evening together with the national leadership team and husbands and wives having worked together and cried together and laughed together and traveled together and been in and out of all kinds, various sundry events together that just sharing the war stories and the fun and the good times that we've had was very, very special and very meaningful. And I value that so much. I put such a high value on those friendships. And last night was very special, and we have some great memories and want to say thank you for that as well. But I would say, just to make a couple of comments tonight, as I have been reflecting through the book of Proverbs this last month, I'm reminded the important place that God places on wisdom and understanding. In fact, he says that the person who grasps God's wisdom and God's understanding is going to be a very wealthy person, is going to be a very blessed person, and is going to be a very happy person. And I would not stand before you tonight and tell you that I have grasped God's wisdom and understanding. But I do want to tell you that I have fathomed a little portion of it. And it deals with life. And I think around maybe four aspects as I've thought about that through the book of Proverbs this month. And one of them is around our relationship to the Creator, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember in 1968, we had been married about 7 years, and we were struggling with some things in our marriage, and we were struggling in some things financially. It was out of my greed, basically. And being involved with a number of different issues, and Christ actually intervened in our marriage and in our lives, and we had the rare privilege of surrendering our hearts and telling Christ we would follow Him all the days of our life. And it healed our marriage and put a dream in our heart together. And I remember the first passage that God ever gave Carol and I. We were on our knees over the bed praying. And it was in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 4. And it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. And He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings, and He put a new song into my mouth, even praise unto God. And many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. And I remember the next morning after I got up and went to work the next morning and heading in to see patients that day, and remember driving down through the orange grove, and I remember for the first time, I'd done that for 7 years. And I remember for the first time in my life, those trees, they had leaves on them. Everything smelled good that morning. Carol looked different that morning. All my patients that morning were just neat people. God had intervened in our life that morning, and He brought us out of a horrible pit. And I would say from that day in March the 25th, 1968, we have been on a pilgrimage that I would say in the area of wisdom and understanding is trying to relate Christ in the innermost being of our lives as we try to live that out in some small way to reveal Him and represent Him in this, the daily ways of life. And I would say that's one of the four critical components about wisdom and not getting satisfied with complacency, but bringing understanding. I'd say the second major area for us is in the area of family, the high priority that God places on family. And I would say for me, and I would reflect this for Carol, I know, I cannot begin to tell you the deep and rich times and what the family that's here on the front row, and I plan to introduce them to you tonight, how God has used them in my life. They've been the primary instrument. You know, Carol has laughed and said, honey, when you prayed for patience and God gave you three little girls, you never know what you were praying for. And I think back on the richness of my family and what that's meant as we've sought to follow Christ together and to work together and to be together and to play together. And that's a high value in my life, and I'll be forever grateful to the Lord. I look at things, and I told the team last night that if I had one word to describe my relationship with the Lord these years, it would be kindness. The Lord has just treated us kindly, and we have not deserved it, trust me. In every area of my life, I can think of things, and why us? And just out of God's kindness, He's chosen to do that. And I'd say my family is one that I thank the Lord and praise God for every day, and I want to share a few thoughts about them in a moment. I'd say the third thing that I would relate wisdom and understanding to of just living life out is related around a third dimension. And that is that God is doing something in the world, and He has since creation. And to have been a part of that passage that, Jerry, that you read in Acts 13:36, that actually came about because Tammy, one day, I don't know if you remember this, Tammy, you came home from school and you had to write a paper on your epitaph. And I remember going back thinking, what would my epitaph be? And I thought, that's what I'd like for it to be, would be Acts 13:36. And I served the purposes of God in my generation, then went to sleep. And as I thought about that, I think of no greater privilege than being involved in serving the purposes of God and in following and serving Him, what He asked to do. And as you that know me, you know that I feel God has given every person a mission and a vision and an assignment in life. And I feel that to have had this privilege the last 13 years of working with a family across this country and around the world that want to know Christ and make Him known, and to have had that privilege to serve Christ with a group of people and a family like so many of you here is one of the greatest privileges that a person could have ever have had. And I've had that, and I never will understand why. Out of just kindness, the Lord has permitted me to bumble my way along and to try to look to Him and believe Him. I never understand that, but I am forever grateful. To have a mission and understand what God's doing and to see your part in that is so special. And every one of you has a very rich part in what God's doing. And I just want to say thank you for letting me have a privilege of being a part of the family in this way and serving Christ with you. And I would say that if there was one thing that needed to be reversed tonight, Carol and I would like to host this to say thank you for all you've done for the Christ and given us the privilege of doing what we've done. So that's the third thing. And the fourth thing has to do with friendships. I am a very wealthy man, very wealthy man. To have had a companion for life like Carol, a supporter, a sacrificer, an encourager. She, I would come home blue and lower than a snake, sharing things, and she would be so gracious for about 20 minutes. And then she would start asking questions, and she never gave me an inch of those things. And I thank you, Carol, from the bottom of my heart for being a godly woman and not allowing me to wallow in self-pity and encouraging me to come to grips with what God's trying to teach me. And then once that's over with, we can get to the next issue, and I'll be forever grateful on that. I would say to have had a family that have become friends that love Christ and that love their granddad and that love their dad and that has been something that has been overwhelming to me. And I remember something, Tracy, I don't know if you remember this or not, but we get together as a family a couple of times a year, and we were sitting around one night at the fireplace after dinner, and we had had communion together, and I was asking the girls, I said, what really marked your life? I thought this is going to be a great evening. And we talked about some things, and I was really interested. The things that I thought we had sacrificed and saved and scrimped for and you know, did all the... they mentioned one or two of those things. But most of the things they mentioned, we would have never have dreamt of. And I remember close toward the end of the night, Tracy said, well, Dad, let me just tell you that you and Mom made a lot of mistakes. But when you know you're loved, you can make a lot of mistakes. And so we've had the privilege of giving our love to some children. But I would say to more than that, is beyond that, is to the extended family that God's given Carol and I in the Navigator family, and to our friendships in the body of Christ across this country. I cannot tell you what a wealthy man and a wealthy woman that Carol is today. And I have a passage of Scripture that highlights that wealth and that brings all of this into focus. But before I do, I want to introduce my family to you, and then I want to introduce some friends that have traveled a ways to be here. But Carol, come on up and be with me just a minute here. And my best friend and companion for life, and I would like to ask Terry Lee, our oldest daughter, to come up maybe and just stand down there, and her husband, Ian. And I'd like to ask, if you would... like to ask Heather, my oldest granddaughter, and I would like to ask Taylor, my only grandson. And then we have had a special week this week. Megan flew out all by herself, and we just had a special week together with Graham and Granddaddy. And Megan, why don't you come up and be with Taylor as well? And Terry Lee and Ian... live in Costa Mesa, California. And as they were married, they met each other when we were in ministry in the southeast down in Jacksonville, Florida. And they met in a local church there and went away to college and then eventually fell in love and got married. And you see those three children, and I love them very much. And Terry Lee and Ian, a few years ago, they were involved with the NAVs out at University of California at Irvine. And we're praying about going over to New Zealand, taking on the collegiate work. But God led them with another couple, Tim and Sue Selleck, to start a church out in the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area. And they did that with a few couples, and that was a number of years ago. And 14 or 1,500 people now come together on just to celebrate and worship Christ at the Ian and Terry Lee and this other couple. And now a larger team of leaders are giving leadership to, and I just love it going out there. We're probably the oldest people in the congregation, and it's just fun to be some gray hair in there. And most of those people have come into the kingdom because of that. They're new people in Christ. And so we love going out and learning from you very much. And I have something I want to share a little further. But before I do, I'm going to ask Skip, our middle daughter, I have something else to share with she and Todd in a minute. And I want to ask Dale and Tammy if they would come up. Tammy's our youngest daughter, our baby. And
always your daughter.
I know, you will. And her husband and Dale. And Dale was involved with Jerry White and working here at the NAVs for a couple of years. And she and Tammy, he and Tammy fell in love and got married, and they're now living on the East Coast in New Jersey, and they are both in the marketplace. Dale with Lusant Technologies, and Tammy with
Platinum Communications.
Platinum Communications, selling communication systems to large companies around the country, and both are very good in what they do in the marketplace. And Dale and Tammy have a heart to be missionaries in the marketplace and desire very much to live Christ out in that role. And we're praying with them. We've always prayed for missions, and I want to introduce Dale's parents in a few minutes. But Dale was raised on the mission field down in Brazil. in São Paulo and speaks Portuguese fluently, and Tammy is learning that. When I go in their home, everything is tagged in Portuguese. And she is rapidly working on that, and their desire is to end up down in São Paulo, serving Christ as a missionary in the marketplace and bringing the values of Christ to society down there. And I know that Dale highly appreciates the Petersons, Jim and Marge. And I noticed when I looked around tonight that Dale and Jim and Marge and Tammy were talking tonight again. So I have I value their friendship and what they're doing very much. And then lastly, my middle daughter, Tracy, and her fiancé, Todd. Would you come up? Yes. Tracy is... praying for Tracy, you know, either give her peace with her singleness or bring a big hunk into her life. And you notice that they learn how to, we found out when we were with them the last time that we know what curbing is, that in order to get a good hug and a good kiss from her fiancé, they have to stand on the curb to even make contact here. So we've been calling that curbing, and we wanted her to stand appropriately here. And, the picture that we took over the last time we were together, she was on the hearth on the fireplace, and still looked just about the same. We're all leaving to head out to California in the first of the week, and on Thursday, we're going to have a rehearsal dinner. And then a week from tomorrow, we're going to tie a knot. And Ian's going to marry them. And I have a few things that I'd like to say. So the last is occurring. And I want you to know that as I have prayed with Carol for 30 plus years on that God would prepare and bring the right person into our lives for each one of the children. He's done that in a very special way. And as I gave that, God gave me a heavy responsibility to feel that for each one of the girls until God brought that mate into their life. And as a result of that, it's going to be very special to share that responsibility with Todd. And there's something very freeing about all of this at that point in time. I would like to share a thought with you. Tonight, I want you to leave tonight feeling a couple of things. One is that you've had a chance to witness and be a friend to one of the wealthiest men and one of the wealthiest women in the world today. And in Proverbs, hey honey, are we okay? Yeah, okay. They tell Granddaddy that he's never the same after he's been around them, and he's right. I want to share the passage on this business of wisdom and understanding for you. And it's out of Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18. Blessed is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, or all the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. All of her ways are pleasant, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold upon her, and happy and blessed is every man that finds it. And I feel tonight that I would share with you in terms of knowing Christ and in terms of having a family and in terms of having a mission to give your life to and in terms of having friends, I am a wealthy, wealthy man. And to have had those friends that would come out tonight and to celebrate what Jesus has done together and to say thank you to Him is just very, very special. And I want to give them something tonight. Each one of them. Carol, you'll just hold on to that. And this should have Terry Lee's name on it and Ian's name on it. If it's not, we need to switch it around here. And this should have Megan. You hold on to this for Granddaddy, okay?
Okay.
And Heather, let me give this to you. You hold on to that.
Sure.
And Taylor, this one's for you. You hold on to that one. And the camera. And for Dale. And for Tracy and for Todd. Let me just read what's on the inside here, and then you can open it up. A couple of comments on it. I want you to also know that I did have several others printed up for the future. just to hang.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Always
Tammy told me just before she met Dale, says, "Oh, Dad said, I know how much you love little boys. You had little girls, and I'm going to give you one of these days a bunch of little boys."
I said,
"Okay, Tammy, just get married first." And so now that you're married, so I would entitle what I'm going to share here just The Voyage of Life. And make a couple of comments on it. Tom and Betty, my close friends, Carol and I, longtime friends from Florida. I'll introduce them to you in a minute. But we were up in New England and saw something on the wall, and it triggered some of these thoughts, and I've rearranged it and added some thoughts to it. But I want to leave these with all of you. And it's entitled The Voyage of Life. Life is a voyage in which you neither select the vessel nor the weather. Critical to any successful voyage is a compass, a clear fix on your final destination, the managing of the sail, and the guiding of the rudder. May you find your way home safely. I'll be waiting. And three passages, John 14, 1 through 6, Proverbs 3, 13 through 26, and Colossians 2, 2 through 7. I think in many ways you don't have a chance and you don't have a choice in terms of the vessel or the weather that God brings into your life. But critical to any voyage is a compass. And you as a family and we as a larger family have a compass. And the North Star is the Lord Jesus and the Bible is the compass. And you have those that you're available to. And you do have a clear fix on your final destination. Your grandmothers and your grandparents and your great-grandparents, they made it home safely. And the Lord willing, your mom and dad will make it home safely, and we'll be waiting for you. But your final destination is key. You got to understand what that is, lest you get diverted and try to pack up and make a home here somehow. And then lastly, these are the two things that you have to make a lot of choices in the months and years to come. And that is in the managing of the sail and in the guiding of the rudder. And I trust that you can find your way home. And again, I trust with you and with Terry Lee that you'll be able to explain that more fully as the children get older. But if you'll just open those up, and I had the joy of working with Ruth and with others and helping me to give this and put it together in a way that would express what Carol and I want. And signed on the bottom of Carol, just my companion for life, with the daughters and with their husbands, is Dad. And then with Granddad on the other one. So I do love you and thank you for being a part of this great venture and this great Navigator family. And you've paid a lot of the sacrifice as well. And I love you very much. Thank you. Let me just take a minute and introduce a few more friends. One of this great venture that we had in the co-mission that you recognize, one of the other parts of the body that we worked together with and enjoyed was the Associated Christian Schools International, and with Paul and Ann Keenel. And Paul, you and Annie, where are you here? So stand up so we can just say hello and thank you for coming and being with us tonight. Paul's the former president of ACSI with, 10,000, 20,000 Christian schools around the country and the world. I have no idea of the scope, but the founder and a great visionary and I would say a great friend. We love you very much. Thank you for taking time just to come over. And then someone else that I have grown to love and appreciate so much, Verley and Perlene Sangster, where are you? Stand up so we can welcome you. There's Perlene, and here's Burley. Thank you very much. Burley and Perlene. Burley served on our board of directors, and not only that, with the same responsibility that I have in the Navigators, he had with Young Life, and we've been meeting together now two or three times a year for I don't know how many years, but I really value your friendship. You're a great friend, and the fact that Verley is now president of Center for Urban Theological Studies in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that he and Perlene would fly down to be with us for the evening and to be with the Nav family and our family, I thank you very, very much. And I also want to introduce another special couple. They're not only our neighbors, they're our parents-in-law, they're Dale's mom and dad, Bill and Laurie Kies. Stand up. Bill's the vice president. Bill's the vice president with OC International and was involved in Brazil with a number of years, and we greatly love and appreciate them. And I would also like to tell you about two or three other couples that are here. One is a good friend that I have grown to love and appreciate, D.G. and Jenny Elmore, and D.G. is on our board of directors. And G.D. and Jenny, would you stand up from Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana? D.G. has been a great friend. We started our friendship together and having lunch in up in Illinois, I guess it was, years ago. And we took a trip together to Singapore, and we just lived and ate and slept together for a couple of weeks. And our hearts got bonded, and they have six children, and we love every one of them. Great, great family. And thank you for taking time out of your busy family and your busy schedule and your business just to come. And then I would want to mention, years ago when I went into practice, 1964, in the Orlando area, we bumped into a neat couple, and Tom and Betty Nelson. Tom was an orthodontist, and we later on went in and built a building, owned a building together and occupied that along with a dentist. And all of these years, Tom and Betty and Carol and I have been just neat friends together, and we love them, and they have been a part of our family and involved in every wedding and are heading out to California. So Tom and Betty Nelson, would you stand up? We appreciate you very much. And God not only gives you friends that live all the way on another part of the country, but we've got some neat friends that God's given us in our neighborhood, Dean and Judy Stewart. Dean's a businessman here in town, and we have found some common interests that we enjoy in the Lord and in hobbies and things together, but enjoying each other. And I really do appreciate, Dean, you and Judy. Would you stand up and say thank you to this dear couple? Yeah. And I have, I'm sure I've probably missed some people that I should introduce tonight, but being a part of the family, I'm sure you'll understand if I missed you. Thank you for bearing with me on that. But let me just end a very special night by saying thank you so much for this great privilege that Carol and I've had of serving Christ and of serving with you and of being our friends. We never dreamt we could have such a special time. And Jack and Carol, we look forward to joining the ranks with you and with Skip and Buzzy and others, and looking forward to fellowshipping with you in that area as well. So, Dave, could I give it back to you? So,
well, as we close our time, Terry and Carol, I have the privilege of praying for you. And after I pray, then we'll have a closing song and be finished for the evening. But as I pray, I would like to ask you to come up to the front here and stand. And Jerry and Mary, if you could come up and stand with them as well. And Jack and Carol, would you come up and stand with them? And one of the things we want to do that we talked about as we had the round table meetings with the staff is that so often we'll meet and we'll talk about everything that needs to be handled in terms of business. But, you know, at times we just need to bless those who are with us. And tonight we want to bless you. And in saying thank you,
And so as I pray, that's what we want to do. Let's all just look up to the Lord together and ask him to bless Terry and Carol mightily in these days ahead. And we do love you very much. So I'll pray, and if you'll pray along with me, we'll just commend them to the Lord now. Father God, tonight, as we end this time, we want to pause and look up into your face and praise your name. Lord, we honor you and we bless you. We magnify you. We exalt you with all of our heart. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in this couple and through this couple in these last 13 years. And Father, we want to thank you specifically for the heart that you've given them for yourself. And Lord, from the earliest days of Terry's desire to help us all focus on you, Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you that you've put that in their heart. And Lord, we thank you for the vision that you've given them, or the vision for what you want to do. In many situations, it's bringing about things that don't exist, but for which you purpose to bring into existence. And then, Lord, we thank you for the protection that you've given them, the protection from the enemy, the protection from the flesh. And, Lord, how you've raised up this beautiful, wonderful family around them. We are grateful to you with them. And Lord, then thank you for the kindness that Terry expressed, that you've shown them, the care, the nurturing, the gentleness. Lord, thank you for that. And I was just thinking that many times when we pray, what would it be like if the Lord Jesus himself physically came into a room like this, and he looked at you, Terry and Carol, what might he say? And I think he would look into your eyes and he would tell you, I love you. I love you. I love you very much. You're my children. And for the days ahead, I believe he would look at you and say, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And his eye is upon you. And he won't leave that. And then I believe he would say, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you. And so we would just pray those things tonight that the Lord Jesus himself would say. And as you enter into this time, I believe he would say, come to me and I'll give you rest. So we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd give him that rest in you. And Father God, we pray that you'd continue to put your hand upon them and that you'd anoint them, Lord, for the new work of service that you have for them. And that you'd reveal that very clearly, that you'd hold them close to you, Lord, that you'd not let them stray in any way from you, that you'd bring them together even closer as a couple, that you'd bless them. And tonight, Lord, we all want to say we bless you, Terry and Carol. Thank you for leading with courage. Thank you for showing the direction. Thank you for showing us the Lord. In so many, many ways, we love you. And we thank you now in the name of the wonderful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Won't you stand? My tribute.